This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
All right. Right, you are.
Me.
We'll start today with the tape that we had on Friday. I'm not sure how many times we'll be able to play this today. So let's just say it's a sex tape, and it features a local TV personality. That's all. Listen to her. She's getting it on with, well, at least two guys.
Baby.
You're shooting already?
Howdy.
Yeah.
Over here.
Oh! Oh! Ah. I can't tell if I'm hitting anything. Go, here we go. Ready? The fact that we have green paint all over us means perhaps we didn't fare so well.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the best part.
She seemed to enjoy it.
I like the guy at the end. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Holly.
I love the fact that we didn't have to add the music either. The music sounds Fox like porno music.
Right.
It does.
It really do.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's celebrate the week of the turkey.
Oh, here we go.
This guy's a talent, Mike.
I know he is.
Turkey, who can I turn to? My mom made gravy and cranberry sauce, too.
He's good.
Pass the stuffing, your mashed potatoes I adore. The dog is begging me beneath the table on the floor.
Quite a show we got.
Turkey, here. I got your number. Tryptophan makes me high. Turkey, don't change your number. 867530 Thanksgiving. 867530 Thanksgiving.
Oh my.
867530 Thanksgiving.
It was almost too good.
867530 Thanksgiving.
It was almost too good until he got to the phone number.
Lame. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show. Lame.
Mondays are money.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
And don't forget the three dreaded D's.
The three dreaded D's.
Right.
Diarrhea, dementia, and death.
We got him.
Well, what have we here?
What the bleep happened here?
Is everybody happy?
Yes,
sir! Is everybody happy?
Yes.
I'm not happy.
Lame.
Awesome!
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Uh-huh.
That was funny.
Thanks, Larry.
Let's give out the phone number. What do you say?
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
Today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it, Jesus style.
All right, Jesus.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yeah, we do.
Right? The ultimate CEO, biggest celebrity of them all. Who's down with G-O-D?
Glorious goon. I know.
Looks like baby vomit.
It sure does.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Lame.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
My bowel movement.
I didn't ask you. You poop.
Hey. Hey, you poop.
It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
There's a big ad.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Don and Mike.
Yay. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there, and welcome back.
Welcome, best of the film.
Welcome.
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 How's your old tomato anyway? This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's Monday. And the phone number is the same as it was on Friday. 877-365-3636.
Monday, which is traditionally Monday.
There's no DJ lingo for this day, Mike.
No, this is just a day.
It's the day. It's the day before the day before the day when you say the heaviest travel day, shopping day.
That's exactly what it is. But people are beginning to get that way.
Wound up.
That way they get. That excited way they get.
It doesn't feel like Thanksgiving.
The holiday spasmatic has begun.
Yeah, it'll run all the way through Christmas now.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. It doesn't feel like Thanksgiving. Number one, Rob A. has not dressed up as a pilgrim and not on some major interstate somewhere.
Well, you got to know it's been years since the boy has put on a uniform.
And what about dinner on the Mayflower?
My God. Are you calling us from 10 years ago?
What? Has it been that long?
Don't you like the idea of something better than that?
Haven't you heard about our Homovember spectacular?
That's so gay, man.
Exactly.
Gay.
That is so gay.
That's the point. The whole point.
Yes, it is.
Wednesday, it's Homovember, baby. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don's and Mike's.
Hi there.
Hey, is a homo Joe going to start stuffing on his penis so the Packers can lick it off?
Yes, absolutely.
How old are you?
We'll never know.
Gone.
He was carded.
A 9-year-old calling.
He was carded, Mike, right at the door. Fake ID. Don't know how he got in here. Hello.
Incredible.
Don and Mike Show. His Facebook said he was 18.
Uh-huh. Facebook.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Greetings.
Yes, greetings right back at you.
I was wondering if you guys are familiar with the term saber.
Saber?
As in lightsaber?
No, as in
saber-tooth tiger?
A cougar who is long in the tooth. Call them sabers.
I guess we'd heard that before, sure.
Saber-toothed tigers.
Well, sure. I think a cougar is the expression for it.
Well, there is
an older cougar would be a saber.
I think
Demi Moore would be a cougar. Kath Lee Gifford would be a saber.
I don't like saber.
I've heard it before, and I know we've had the discussion before when we had the actual list of all the various niche groups that have come
Didn't
out.
Didn't we try
cougar.
To come up with our own names besides cougar?
Yeah, and we gave up
because it was just not cougar was the definitive word.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Hold on. You can't say you have no I believe you have no effing clue, but you can't say you have no effing clue. You can't say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't say the F word.
I'm sorry. I have no clue.
There you go.
I don't know what's with my phone.
Go listen to yourself now on the radio.
He is filled with holiday excitement.
Uh-huh.
And then smell your fingers.
As an example.
He is just overjoyed that we're on the eve of the season.
Smell your fingers and see if you can remember what you did this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's going on, Radio God?
Hey, what's happening?
Man, just calling to say, man, you guys are some funny characters. I listen to y'all every day at work.
It's what our parents said to us.
Right
we're
on.
Funny characters.
Funny characters.
It was more like funny characters.
Let's start the show, shall we?
I think
let's
sure.
do.
Let's do.
Do and let's
of,
do.
And, of course, your calls are always welcome. Doesn't mean we're going to take them, but they're always welcome. I come to you a fine mind, body, and spirit today.
Good.
I did not go to Atlantic City
what?
With a creepy guy from Philadelphia.
What happened? You didn't go to Atlantic City. I know you... You were mixed about it because you said, A, you got that guy down there. B, it might be good to get away for a while, but you didn't go, huh?
Yeah, I got home and I discussed it with Jan, who is incredibly sensitive when these things come up because it's her former boss and she's got the whole business relationship with this guy. And I just said, you know, I can't see getting in the car and driving all the way up there and then meeting this guy, you know, Ron, what's his name from Norma Ray?
Burgundy.
The guy. The guy, I got to tell you something. The guy is so into the abuse that he did a search on the internet of that actor of Ron, whatever his
Liebman.
Name. Ron Liebman from the movie Norma Ray, and sent us an email of a picture of him and a picture of that guy.
So, he's into it.
He was thrilled by the fact that I said that's the celebrity he most resembles.
Well, now I know why it's probably good you didn't go, because you would have been up there entertaining. You would have been his entertainment. That's what he wants you up there as a jester, as a clown. Even though you're putting him down, he's enjoying the abuse.
So anyway, Janet finally said on Saturday morning, well, if you want to make the call, make the call. And I said, no problem. Give me the phone number. Said area code 615. Hi. The number is Klondike 5, D-I-C-K.
Did you say it to him in an abusive way that you wouldn't be attending?
I just said, you know.
Because that might have been the nice thing to do, I mean, since he's so thrilled with it.
The guy is like a punching bag.
Right.
I swear to God he is. I said, hey, good morning. Maybe, as you've heard, I've had kind of a week with my father passing. And, you know, maybe it's not the best time to go up and get away. And right away he was like, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I listen every day.
Right.
I listen every day. I heard that. That's sad. Okay, your call. No problem. I got someone else that I can call to have used this room. So he was more than cool.
Very cool. There'll no fuss, other, no muss.
There'll be other times, right?
Yeah, sure. No, there won't, Buzz. We're never going to see him again.
Okay. Use this as an opportunity not to have to have him darken your door again.
So we got to just stay at home this weekend.
Good.
And only one thing happened that involved me. But we saw, Mike, you mentioned the holidays.
Yeah.
I saw Saturday afternoon, Home Depot in Reston, Virginia, I saw the beginning of the unraveling of the holidays.
Starting earlier and earlier every year.
When, as we were walking around pushing one of those big-ass, gigantic things, like if you're going to bring out 20 pieces of plywood.
Yeah, it's not a regular shopping cart. It's a six-wheeler.
Right.
It's the flat piece of metal where you put the heavy stuff on it.
And there's all kinds of people that are trying to maneuver these things around Home Depot.
Yes.
And they're blasting in the, where is your Merry Christmas? Yeah. Where is your? And it's almost overkill. When you first walk in, you go, oh, Christmassy. Okay. And
right.
Then it's too much. And the people, too much. And as we were standing, waiting to see who had the right of way with these big, gigantic push things, some guy lost it. This guy was arguing with his wife.
Wow.
And he picked up a mini Christmas tree.
Uh-oh.
The thing had to be...
Yeah, a tiny little, like, two-footer.
Two-footer. Mm-hmm. Picked it up off the wall.
One of the pre-lit ones?
Yeah. Pulled it out. It was a display model. Uh-huh. Pulled it out. I guess it was tiny. It didn't take that much strength to
sure,
do it.
Sure.
And threw it at her feet. And
wow. Said, so it was all her. She was the one that had set him off.
And he said, you want that? You buy that.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
The whole time, yeah, you're hearing, you know. Right. It was a nut scene. I had never seen it. And she stood there, and everybody was watching,
sure,
but not watching. And then he said to everybody, but to no one in general, what are you looking at?
And that's how he behaves in public. One can only imagine what it's going to be like on decorating night at his house.
Mm-hmm. But I like that. I rolled with that. I like that. That was a nice little
sure
holiday snapshot.
That was a pick-me-up, I'm sure.
We followed that up with we went to see that the great movie you saw, Mike, American Gangster.
Yes, good movie.
Love it. Absolutely.
Long movie,
it.
But a good movie.
You know, I didn't check my watch once.
Good.
I swear to God, really loved it, really got into it. The only criticism that I have of the people in the film, not in the film, in the theater, were a grandma and a grandpa who brought their 10-year-old granddaughter with them.
It's not too appropriate for that.
You know, and again, when the theater's filling up, and it was one of those deals where we had really good seats because it looked like no one was going to go to the showing of this movie.
Right.
But as it gets closer, people start filling in the holes, and, you know, before you know it, you're stuck where you are. And this old couple sat directly in front of us with a little kid.
Sure.
And we thought, that's okay. I leaned over to Jan. I said, hey, don't worry about it. Well, the opening scene of the movie is the guy get his head blown off.
Yeah.
And the girl goes, ah!
And I wonder if it was the little girl that snowed Grandma and Grandpa, you know, that said, oh, yeah, we can go see this Grandma and Grandpa. It's a good movie.
You know, and I had to stop myself from leaning over and saying to the grandma and to the grandpa, hey, listen, what did you expect? This is an R-rated movie by Ridley Scott. It's called American Gangster.
Right.
I mean, you could have taken her to see the goddamn Jerry Seinfeld movie, or Fred Claus is showing right down the hall.
Well, if you turned to them and said, what did you expect? They would have turned to you and said, I respect everybody. What?
What?
Huh? Come again?
So the kid was really cool. She didn't ask a lot of questions.
Good.
But when bad things happened in that movie, and there weren't as many bad things like as in Goodfellas.
No, it's not nearly.
It's not as overtly violent. But when guys get shot like in the head.
Point blank in the head.
You see them get shot in the head. I mean, when Denzel Washington leaves that cafe and says, excuse me for a second.
Yeah, and he's got it like his family's come up from the Carolinas.
He just walks up to this guy and says.
Places it on his forehead.
He says, where's my money? And he says, what are you going to do, shoot me? And he goes, yeah. Boom.
Bam.
And I mean, you see it, right? And again, the little girl goes, ah! And I feel the squeeze on my arm from Janet like, oh, this is unnerving.
Get that child out of the theater.
So we finally end up focusing on the movie, and this becomes a part of the texture of the film is the child gasping. And said when the movie's over, I really want to see what their take on it is, because these people were not annoying to the point where I wanted to say to them, hey, knock it off. They weren't making noise. They were just sitting close enough to us. It was weird.
And the little girl was obviously traumatized.
Reacting. Right. So the lights come up, right? And the theater's starting to leave. And it's one of those movies, everybody's very quiet at the end of it. Mm-hmm. Like, people are, you know, I don't know why it is after a movie like that, a series like Gangster Movie, you talk in hushed tones. Like, you know, did you enjoy that? I did. I thought it was, you know, like you're in a library.
Well, I think a movie like that, also, they want to check out, you know, the text at the end. Whenever there's text at the end where it's based on a true story, you want to see where the guy ended up, where the cop ended up, all that good stuff.
You see the guy got out of prison in 1991. So it goes past all of that. Mm. And then the lights come up.
Right.
And we look, and I swear to Christ, the grandpa turns to the granddaughter and says, well, that's the worst movie.
Yep, that was the kid that got him to go.
That's the worst movie I've ever seen.
That's the kid.
And then the grandma says, if I would have known it was like that, I would have never. And meanwhile, now with the lights up, I get a look at the little demon child.
Yeah, the demon child that orchestrated the whole thing.
The demon child, you know, I don't want to say fat. It's an ugly word. Uh-huh. A pudgy little youngster.
Big right.
Boned.
Who sat there and almost did the Tom Gavin evil laugh. You know, where the hands come very close to the face. And they're like, oh, I thought it was so wonderful. Reminded me of.
I faked out Grandma and Grandpa.
Martin Short in the movie Clifford.
Right. Evil Clifford. Yeah.
You know the way?
Sure.
Because really.
Because Mom and Dad are at some weekend in, you know, in West Virginia, and they're, you know, Grandma and Grandpa have the reins all weekend. And so, would you like to see? We'll take you to a movie. What movie would you like to go? Oh, that's very violent. No, it's not, Grandpa.
Mike, I'm telling you, that had to be it because we were.
I figured when you said it initially.
We were sitting there the whole time shooting this old couple daggers in the back of their head,
right,
like,
right.
What the frig is your problem?
Not their fault, and really not their fault. I think you give them a total free pass because grandparents aren't expected to know the current cinema. But, you know, even though it's in newspapers and all that stuff, they're not supposed to know that stuff. And you know, their job is to spoil the child. So you know, that's their prerogative.
So that was an interesting, funny thing. There was the guy throwing the thing at his wife at Home Depot, and. Then we end the Saturday. We decided not to spend in Atlantic City doing stuff around here. We went to Office Depot, and I have to give credit where credit is due. There's a guy.
It's like a pretty nice little Saturday.
Yeah, you went to all the Depot.
Did you go to the Olive Garden at the end of the night, too? It's a pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to the Home Depot and then take a trip down to Office Depot.
We went to your joint.
That's right.
I know it sounds boring.
Right.
It's what I wanted to do.
Now, if you went to my joint, would you say, and it was lovely?
Oh, yeah.
You'd say like Will Ferrell says, and it was
and
lovely.
And it was lovely.
Thank you.
As always. So we go to Home Depot. We go to the movies. We're going to go to Office Depot.
Office Depot.
Right. Office Depot. We go in there, and we're looking at computers. You know, we're just kind of looking around. And we see that there's one that, something by Hewlett-Packard, really state-of-the-art. I mean, slick. It's like a touch screen, and there's no tower that goes with it, and it's sleek. And I look at this thing, and they've got one that's like $1,700.
Yeah.
And I said to Jan, whoa, you know, no way.
Whoa.
No way. We'll wait. And she sees right next to it, like kitty corner, she goes, well, look, here's virtually the same one. This one's $799, $1,000 less, right?
Right.
I said, well, there must be something wrong with it. And she said,
reconditioned.
Well, she said, well, it just looks like it's the floor sample. So we call over the manager guy, and the manager guy says, oh, right you are. I would be glad to box this up for you and give you our regular guarantee and blah, 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 blah.
No cracked plastic? No fingerprints?
Well, no, this is where I have to thank the guy at Office Depot. So the manager guy leaves, and the guy that's going to come over and
take the demonstration thing off the shelf, because, mm-hmm. you know, they've got them just shellacked to the shelf.
Yes, yeah, fastened.
As he's taking this thing apart, he says to us, I wouldn't buy this if I was you.
Mm-hmm. Is this the kid working there now?
No, this is an old man.
An old man working there.
The manager guy looked like the guy Phil Connor from
Needle Nose
from Groundhog Day. Uh-huh. The guy that was actually doing the work had to be 60.
Needle Nose Ned was trying to sell you a bill of goods.
Right. So the old guy, when he comes over, he says, he really looks around and he says, I wouldn't buy this if I was you. And I said, why? He said, this is the demonstration unit. It's been out on the floor. I said, yeah. He told us they'd give us a guarantee. He said, well, I've seen it.
I can take a dump in a box. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This guy was so honest. He said, since we took it off the floor and put it back here, he said, the reason it's not sitting out there as a display model is that it turns itself off every 15 minutes because so many people have come up and pushed the buttons and kept touching.
Oh, my God.
The touchscreen.
All right. So, I mean, you're getting the heads up from a nice, honest salesperson.
Yes. And also he said, you see on the bottom of the mouse here, like where you put the batteries in? Uh-huh. He said, I don't have a cover for that. He said, somebody stole that. So, you know, I guess you got to get some duct tape.
Somebody stole it.
You got to get some duct tape for that.
Right.
And then he said, how honest does this get? He said, I tell you what, let's turn it on. And if it doesn't do anything weird, mm-hmm. like in the first 5 minutes, then maybe it's a good one.
Okay.
And we said, that sounds good. He turned it on, and within 30 seconds, it was like an old jalopy car going.
I mean, if the just thing, totally crapping out?
If the thing could have shaked, uh-huh. and if air could have come out of the sides, and if steam could have come out, it would have, the whole thing crashed immediately. And that thing comes, like, you know. System error.
And the old guy was being helpful, but it was young upstart manager trying to make a big score. Or was the manager doing that to you to make a big score, or was he doing that to you just basic inattentiveness?
I would think he just didn't care.
Yeah, right.
He just didn't care. So now we say to the old guy, hey, thank you very much for your honesty. We're not going to buy this computer. And I can't go in Office Depot without buying Sharpies and Post-it notes and everything. Uh-huh. So we're waiting to buy all this junk, and we're in line. And Janet says, oh, no, there's the manager guy.
Right.
I said, what big deal. She said, what are we going to tell him? I said, well, we're going to tell him that we changed our mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's going to know that the old guy ratted it out.
How?
I said, only if we tell him,
darling. Right, exactly.
Right.
Only if we tell him. So we walked up there, and the guy said, do you have the ticket for the computer? And I said, we changed our mind. And Janet said, you have very nice employees.
Oh, God.
Oh,
she's killing the guy.
No. She went no further.
Yeah.
She went.
But that's her way of, like, for some reason, like, being honest to a fault where, you know, they get nice employees up. Jackson!
When the guy turns around, she said, you got really nice employees. And we just decided to go another way. I gave her a look like, what are you doing? And she leaned over to me and she said, I guarantee you he thinks I'm talking about him.
Oh.
And I said,
okay.
I said, please. And by the time the guy turns around, uh-huh. now she reads his name tag, whatever, you know, dumbass. And she says, well, dumbass, again, I want to thank you. And he said, and I want to thank you for the compliment because customer service is really what we're all about.
You know, oh, my God.
She gave me a look. Jenna gave me a look to indicate that, you know, she had it under control all along.
You know, the only thing I usually buy as a floor sample is furniture when it can be totally checked out.
Right.
Like, you can sit at it. You can see if there are any ass marks on it. You can see if there are any chips out of it. But something electronic, well, that's not true. See, I bought a TV once.
If it's the last thing in existence of its kind or its price, then sometimes you buy that floor model.
I did because
it's a hefty discount, though, if you're talking about $1,000.
Well, it had been the first generation of whatever this computer was, and they came out with a new generation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we didn't do it, and that's good. And
did you go to any other stores named Depot?
No, Mike, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything after that. We just went home and just barricaded ourselves in the house.
Good for you.
So you wouldn't have to deal with others.
Too much contact with outside people.
Right.
So I had a very good, despite how this may sound, I had a very nice weekend.
Even with people in the stores, was their behavior okay?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the show at Home Depot, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You can't beat that.
Should have gone to Costco.
Why, did you?
Yeah, Costco the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
How was that?
I had no choice.
You, of course.
I ran out of my water. I had to get water. You need water to live. And I'm not going to drink out of the dried up reservoir that supplies my town's water system. I'm not going to drink that water, so I have to get it out of a bottle and to buy it in bulk so you don't have to keep going to the grocery store. That's the only place to go. So I went to the land of the root. The land of the root. And normally during the holiday season, I start by saying a lot of excuse me's. And my mindset on Saturday was no excuse me's necessary, that I was simply going to stand my ground and not do anything but stand my ground and push people out of the way that were in my way and walk out into the aisle. And if someone was coming like at a super high speed thinking I will yield to them, mm-hmm. no, they would have to stop their shopping cart because I am in there. That was the attitude I had. Because I had to do the whole
already.
I had to kind of do the, you know, the kids in different locations thing. So I also thought might be fun because I'm not going to have my daughters on Thanksgiving
yeah.
to have a Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday. So I decided to go and get the birds from Costco also. And I have a question about Thanksgiving turkeys.
Hold on, right? You're going to have Thanksgiving? You mean yesterday?
I had it. Yes.
Oh, you did yesterday.
I cooked a turkey. I cooked mashed potatoes. Cooked
That's
corn.
Right. Because you're going to Vegas, baby.
No, it's because she's got them anyway. I'll be here for...
No, I mean, I know that.
I'll be here for another. It's not because I'm going to Vegas.
No, but I know she's got them, but I just like mentioning that.
Right, yeah, I'm going to Vegas, you know,
Thanksgiving night.
But I mean, if some would think, oh, hey, kids, no time for you. No, it's not quite like that.
Right.
It's that they're going to be at their mom's house on Thanksgiving
right.
Day. And I was originally going to take them out for breakfast Thanksgiving morning. And that's a hassle for everybody because you just don't eat a big breakfast on
right.
Thanksgiving morning. My question is, with turkeys, uh-huh. at least at Costco, they have two big vats of butterball turkeys. Now, one group they say is frozen and the other group they say is fresh.
Right.
But the fresh are just thawed, right? That's why I guess that's why the fresh turkey had ice in it.
Really?
To keep it cold.
Was it like a lobster or something?
No, it was I there's this big vat of turkeys that say frozen, and then right next to the exact same turkeys, all about 13.6 pounds.
That's
right.
The ideal size.
All of them. They were some of them were soft and some of them were a little harder. Mm. Some of them were a little more frozen than others, but there were some in the fresh bin that were you know, like the whole thigh was rock solid, was rock hard.
The FDA has rules about what determines being frozen.
Rock
but
hard.
But if they sell it, and unforgiving.
And if baby!
If it's a fresh turkey and being sold as a fresh turkey,
right.
It has to have been kept like above 30 degrees its whole since it was killed. Or
all
something
right.
like that.
Well, I mean,
there
it was
rules.
The turkey was fine, and I cooked it breast down, which is a new experiment.
I hope that that you follow the lead of Rob Zombie and that you got a turkey that was not sexually violated by a Butterball employee.
I actually watched Martha Stewart this morning and condolences on her mother passing on Friday.
The widow Stewart has passed.
But
yes.
She stayed in one segment that... Martha!
Pixie.
But the big thing that I was concerned about was that, man, they did a whole thing on these turkeys raised on a farm
mm-hmm.
with a guy that breeds turkeys like racehorses and,
right.
and all these like,
Long
Island Reds or Bourbon Reds that these turkeys. And no, he just has these turkeys that are like purebred turkeys.
But
and
there's no saddles. No,
I sure
no
like saddles. Eating them, though.
It was, mm-hmm. But so but don't you think that when you get a turkey, when it says that, you shouldn't have to worry? I mean, it should be bam, ready to go, put it in the oven. And there were like, when I was cleaning out the goo from the inside of the
right.
bird,
mm-hmm.
there were chunks, big chunks of ice, and it was solid. Some of the stuff was solid, but most of it was soft. But it had ice in it.
Did you okay? So did you buy a fresh or a frozen?
I bought a fresh because I had to cook it the next day.
But I think even when you buy it, did you put it in the refrigerator like to chill it out?
Yes, yeah, yes, I put it in the refrigerator. But
oh.
But this was even when I was like going through. I had to find the right fresh one that was soft enough
mm-hmm.
that felt like really super fresh. I just don't understand. You say 30 degrees. Well, it would have to be under 30 degrees for any part
don't
of that
Don't hold
turkey.
Me to that. There are rules, and they sometimes
there
don't
rules,
seem
Rob.
To make sense. Mm-hmm.
There are many rules.
That the turkeys could have been commingled by accident because of the rude people?
I suppose one or two, but I mean, there were several in there, and it was just kind of confusing for me.
How was it? How did it taste?
I was fantastic because I cooked it.
It was a butterball?
It was outstanding. I put lemon on the inside
sounded
of it.
Like Arnold.
because
I cooked it.
Huh? Are you confused?
Because I cooked it.
The turkey? Of course, it's perfect for my whole family because I made the bird.
Mine whole family.
No, lemon on the inside, onion, fresh parsley, fresh
fresh rosemary and thyme.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very good.
It was very good. I did a nice job on it, but it was.
Did you stuff it?
No, I didn't put stuffing in it. No, we went sans stuffing yesterday because, you know, I didn't want to go crazy.
That's the problem with those Rhode Island red or whatever those farm raised
bourbon
are.
Reds. I think
they're not injected with fat,
really,
like a butterball is, and that's what makes it so good.
Well, I happen to listen to the Rob Zombie tape that Don played on Friday, and I'm concerned about that. You know, that their legs split.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
It's fantastic. Do you realize they split because they're making a better bird for you?
You don't care about the preservatives.
No. Bring them on.
I'm with Rob on that.
Yeah. Fatter the better.
Better living through science. They're building better birds for us to eat. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, if the legs can't carry them, tell them to have a seat.
There you go.
What makes a Nazi?
There he is.
How does he get that way?
Rob Spiewak's Turkey Farms.
Yeah, well, the Butterball's a good one. I enjoyed it.
And this football this weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
I effed up so bad.
Green Bay, thank you. Thank God. Green Bay, 9-1. Mm-hmm. Not happened in 40 years. Beautiful. Redskins. Glad we still have that Fire Joe Gibbs Now website up.
Yeah, well, you had to admit it was getting a little dicey
for a while. But still, there was some bad decision making.
Right at the end, there was another bad decision where he took the timeout when the guy got injured.
And no matter what you think, the team is 5-5. I don't care if they're the best 5-5 team in the world. 5-5 is 5-5. But what I really do want to throw out is the Patriots. That I have turned on the Patriots now.
Really?
I don't see why you're killing a team. Seriously. You're killing a team 42-7. You got Tom Brady in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. It's 4th-and-2
right
on the 5, and you go for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to piss me off as a football fan that the Patriots are such dicks running up the score.
Well, it's their coach.
I understand that. And my question, for everybody, is when is there going to be somebody from another team that says, you know what, this is crap. Scores 42-7, and this MF is going to go for it on fourth down.
Well, don't all the other coaches hate Belichick?
Belichick.
I know. Yeah,
oh, Belichick. I get jokes.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, Mike.
Bill Belichick.
Then how come none of the other coaches has said what I would say? Next play, you know what? Don't care if we give up a touchdown. It's an 11-man blitz on Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. 11 men, and their only...
It's the way they would have done it in the old days.
The only thought is, we're going to hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, or Randy Moss.
Right.
I mean, seriously, I don't want to make this into a gigantic, earth-shattering thing, but I'm watching that game last night, and at one point I'm going, you know, not fair. Mm-hmm. You're being a bully. All of the great teams of the past, the Bears team that went all that way in 85.
Some might say not fair for the Bills to even be on the schedule.
But they all these great teams, the Cowboys teams, the Steelers teams, the Packers teams, even that freaking Dolphins team from 72 that won't shut up.
Right.
You know, you get to a point, you're killing some team, you take out the starters. And it seems that New England wants to score 50 points a game, and they just want to just take a crap on the entire league.
Well, didn't they say something at the end of the game like Belichick will, after they enjoy the euphoria of the moment, Belichick will say, you know, why didn't you execute this? Why didn't you execute? You could have gotten more. And they'll try to, he will create a mindset where even with that blowout score of 50-plus points for the Patriots, they'll try to improve upon that next time.
I agree, and I buy into that. What I'm saying is that Belichick, it's my belief he's running the risk now. You're going to piss off someone who's got some pride on one of these other teams. And what are you going to do when Nancy Brady goes down? If I was on the Buffalo Bills last night, I swear to Christ, I would have said, you know what? Who cares? We're on national TV. Like I said, 11 guys go after Tom Brady.
Don't you agree it's a different mindset in the NFL now, though? It's a different mindset. They don't. It's not the same kind of game. It's the talk smack. If you're down, you're down. Then you pout. You go over to the sidelines and you pout. That's what they do in the NFL.
And Madden's whole thing last night was they're not running up the score. You got to go out. You know the way to beat the Patriots? Stop the Patriots.
Right.
And what I'm saying is if you can't stop them, if they're that much better than every team in the league and they insist on running up the score and making every game Patriots 50, the other guys nothing.
Well, the reason you get those blowouts with the Patriots now is because teams get demoralized against them, and they quit. And if you don't think the Buffalo Bills quit,
Mike, I'm here to tell you.
Probably in the first half.
I know that there was a strike here, but I'm telling you, you could find replacements who would go out there and would have only one thought. Okay, Belichick, you're going to play like this? Guess what? We're going to take away Randy Moss. We're going to take away Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to be eating baby food at the end of tonight's game. Tom Brady will need a colostomy bag when my guys are done with him tonight. Tom Brady will have two broken legs. You know that cleft.
I'm not sure that I agree with the sportsmanship of your suggestion.
I don't know if I agree with the sportsmanship of Belichick in the fourth quarter, keeping all these guys in and running up the score.
But do you really believe that because of the overwhelming talent of the New England Patriots, that the other team should concentrate on is killing or maiming the other quarterback?
If the Patriots can't keep it in their pants.
Isn't there a code in the NFL that has now been violated by the Patriots twice?
Absolutely.
I mean, Patriots have done this. This is the second time they've done
this. Do you realize I was vacillating about this last night, going between, in my mind, either they are the greatest team of all time.
Right.
Or they're just like the biggest jerk-off dick bullies in the world, and eventually someone's going to sock him in the jaw and the whole glass house is going to fall apart.
I don't think so. Not with the Patriots. But, there have always been 62 to 10 games in the NFL.
But not by one team every single week.
Right.
Look at how these MFers do it. Oh, my God. If I was on one of those other teams, if I was the coach.
I hope you get your chance in the Super Bowl.
With Green Bay?
Yeah. Because right now, it could very well be.
That would be the only chance the Packers would have.
Dallas, as much as Dallas won the game yesterday, they didn't impress me as far as, you know, the great juggernaut that everybody thinks they are.
I know. I just found myself getting pissed off. I'm not watching them like, I might be watching the greatest team of all time, or I might be watching history being made. I'm watching this now going, oh, come on. I'm watching a guy in a hobo suit on one sideline.
Well, don't you think he's the problem?
Yeah, just shove it down the throat.
Well, of course he's the problem. He's the only problem. He's the guy that can make that decision. He's the guy that can say, hey, we have 45 points. You know what? Take a knee.
No, you don't take it. You know what you do? You put in whoever their dumb second stringer is.
Well, that's taking a knee. You know, basically saying to his starters, you know, hey, Brady, hey, Tom, take a knee.
And the flip side of that is if you leave your starters in a blowout, there's a chance that someone from the other side might just get mad and have to pull a Joe Theismann on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I think that around the league, with the reputation they have, there are probably a lot of angry guys that have a lot of pride. But it just seems in the old days, you'd get, you'd get a little tendency. Like, I wouldn't see Mike Singletary back in the day taking that if the Bears were getting blown out.
What I'm saying is, Mike, that's a good one. And there's got to be somebody around the league. Maybe be someone like Ray Lewis, someone crazy,
right?
Someone legitimately crazy who the Patriots are going to play, mm-hmm. and when they're winning 60-10,
Butkus. I wouldn't have seen Butkus doing that.
Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher,
Sam Huff. Hey, but seriously, we say a lot of stuff about Sam, but in his day, what would Sam Huff have done in those circumstances?
I guarantee you,
he would have tried to break his leg.
You, as retarded as we think Sam Huff is, you could put a leather helmet on him this week,
right,
and say, hey, guess what?
They're running the score up against you.
Put that tweed jacket with the patches on the sleeves and get your leather helmet on and get in a three-point stance. And here's what we want you to do. Break Tom Brady's arm.
It would have been done.
He'd do it.
Seriously, Sam Huff was that kind of player, that kind of hard-nosed player. He was, he's that kind of guy. But I have may I ask a question?
Is there anyone man enough in the NFL to do this? Yeah, Mike.
I have a question about fantasy football.
Yeah.
What is our time deadline for putting our lineups in?
12 noon. 12 noon.
Oops.
Why? Did you win?
No. Really? I would have killed you. But what? You know what? I might not have killed you. I would have put in Brady, but I might not have put in the Patriots defense.
Candy and nuts, Mike.
Yeah. I blew it. I blew it. Tex O'Meara, a chink in the armor.
Talking about yourself in third person, Mike.
Yeah, Tex O'Meara blew it this weekend. Let an inferior team walk into the victory.
And, Robbie, you say ifs and buts. Listen, when you read the stuff about the Washington Redskins or hear about the Washington Redskins and how they played this weekend from the D.C. media, please do yourself a favor and check like Thomas Boswell, Mike Wise, Mike Wilbon, any of these columnists, and write how many times in their columns they write if.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not that the Redskins are 5-5. It's, if everything falls right, they're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't thrown that interception, they'd be okay. Mm-hmm. If Sean Taylor was in the backfield, they'd be okay.
And you can find it all by reading the Washington Post, because, I mean, that's not coverage of a team, a hometown team that got defeated. That's an effing yearbook. Mm-hmm. That's a yearbook that they put in there still on Monday. It doesn't matter. The Redskins can suck. It doesn't matter. You will read 16 pages with massive full-page photographs.
It's a moral victory, Mike. It's a moral victory.
Hey, you know what came out of this loss? We got ourselves a quarterback.
Well, that's right.
That's the anthem this week.
And here's the truth about that for any of you cats. And everybody in the world watched this game yesterday. It was the only game on yesterday afternoon. Jason Campbell had an outstanding game because in the fourth quarter, when they had nothing to lose, they let him just throw.
They let him go to the hurry-up offense, and man, he really took to it.
He showed us
he something. Took to it.
If, Mike, and again, if he takes this
right.
and makes this a learning experience,
uh-huh. right.
and they also do this a lot, if this happens, this reminds us of what happened in 1991. When Mark Rippon led the Redskins to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Are you essing me? That is 17, almost 17 years ago.
Wow.
You got a team that's 5-5, and Thomas Boswell, whoever it is, my apologies, in the Washington Post, getting your name wrong. You write a column today that says, golly, looks pretty good. He's been the coach now. Gibbs has been the coach of the team for 5 years.
Right.
We're 5-5. If everything finally starts to go our way, yeah, then maybe, yeah, if, but only if this happens. Jesus.
Oh, it's fun. Christ. It's fun. Football season is fun.
Who has to lose for them to get into the playoffs?
They're still very much in the thick of it. Mathematically, they are with a convoluted wild card in the NFL.
Right. If. Yeah,
you got a lot of teams are what? What are they? 6-4 right now?
They're 5-5.
No, the Redskins are 5-5, but you got some teams that are 6-4.
Mm-hmm. You obviously, Giants are, Cowboys are 9-1.
Right.
Packers are 9-1.
Right.
Giants are 7-3.
Right.
Lions are.
What are the Eagles?
5-5. Tampa Bay is 6-4.
6-4.
The Lions are 6-4.
Right.
I mean, the Redskins are, they're like not even floating near the top of the crud.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of good teams in front of them.
Run the table, Don.
But with this quarterbacking situation finally after all these years solved.
Yeah. Thank God.
Let's not pay any attention to the lack of, to the cranial cramps that were had by the Dallas Cowboys secondary. Let's say that it was pure genius.
You know, the Washington Redskins have lost 3 games in a row. Mm-hmm. But we finally have a quarterback.
Right.
That's right. So
don't need to worry about that anymore after how many years?
And
after 4 years, they've solved the quarterback controversy.
Based on one game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Based on yesterday's game.
Solved. Right. I mean, hey, and a lot of people are saying, don't worry about the fact that he threw the interception into the man's stomach at the end of the game.
That was a beautiful pass.
If he hadn't thrown that, Mike, they might have won.
Well, don't
they
say
They were
that.
In that game.
Because that's not the spin that people
they
are
putting were in out. That game. I want to tell you, if he had not thrown that interception, they might have won. Mm-hmm. And that's how close they are, Mike.
Right,
just that.
Sure, they're 5-5, but I want to tell you something. They're an undefeated 5-5 team.
Yeah, I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous because of the coverage they get. I am just jealous. Sure. You know, trying to be a hockey fan in the town of Washington, D.C. You want to talk about the bastard redheaded stepchild, you know? You can't hear anything about the hockey team, but you know what you can read about? Ted Leonsis in his movie getting an Oscar.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Whoopee, Ted, you got a hockey team!
I want to hear about Ted Leonsis' last bowel movement.
Hey, I'm never, ever full. Did you ever buy AOL?
Worry about that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I think they're going to try to go undefeated.
Hello?
Are you speaking to us?
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Bye!
I'm sorry.
Don
and Mike Show, hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I got a thing about the Patriots there I saw the other day. They were saying the average team, and I'm not a Patriots fan, but the average offense is on the field for 12 whole series. And they say Tom Brady, the reason Belichick's playing him nonstop throughout the whole game is because
he's only seeing about an average of 8 series a game.
Hey, listen, you know, that's a very valid argument. I'll give you that.
That is a valid argument.
I know last night, the first 7 series, they got TDs. It's the first 7 times they had the ball. All right.
Yeah.
But well, I would think, seriously.
The 8th time, break the effer's leg.
But really, I would think, seriously, in the NFL, in any exhibition game, in any preseason game, in any game at all, anytime you're out there in this league with the quality of play, in this league, you're taking your life in your hands. I mean, sit the guy down just to save his ass.
Well, no one's got the balls to do anything to him. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, Don, Mike. Hey, listen, I liken Belichick to running up the score on all these defenses to that Kansas church to protest Marine funerals. It's only a matter of time before, you know, something bad happens.
As my father used to say to me, way to put it in perspective.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Greetings, gentlemen. Even though I despise Tom Brady and think he's a pretty boy, little sissy pants, I don't care how good a quarterback he is, I say go to the source of the problem. I want to see Ray Lewis take Belichick out. I want to see him roll over the sideline and just chop block his knees and take him out and take that little bandana.
No. You know, you've got to take Belichick's little bitch away. You've got to take one of his bitches. You've got to take, what's his name, Brady or Moss or
right
anybody from their defense.
Who's next on the grape line?
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, did you guys catch that broadcast made by that injured player? I can't remember his name. He was, like, temporarily paralyzed for the Buffalo Bills earlier.
I saw that last night before the game. Sure.
Did you see the looks on the Patriots' faces when he said, come on, let's go beat New England?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Were they smirking?
They had a look on their face like, pfft. I would categorize the look, I think it was Teddy Bruschi, I would categorize the look as, pfft, like they got a chance.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a weird, like, nonverbal thing.
Well, I mean, it's the psychology of the NFL. It kind of works that way nowadays. You know, if you can get in another guy's head, you're all set. And if you think you're Superman, sometimes you're going to go out there and play with it.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, 2 weeks. New England at Baltimore on Monday night, and I can picture Terrell Suggs driving Tom Brady into the turf in the third quarter, and only Belichick will be to blame for it.
Well, if we're going to start thinking about injuring Tom Brady, that would be a good place to start.
You know, I just...
I guess Baltimore.
I just can't help but think, and I think someone has to speak up for this. I mean, you're getting all this hostility because... what is Tom Brady really guilty of other than success? Other than the ability to play football at an extraordinarily high level.
It's not his fault. But in this
I feel
case,
it necessary to speak up for the New England team that I don't pay attention
what
to.
What we're going to do in this case is treat Belichick as the pimp, and unfortunately, Brady is the whore. We are going to have to beat up the whore to get the pimp's attention.
That's right. Right. But, of course, there's this little thing they're going to have to do before that. And that's to play a football game. Because you know something? If you really want to get Tom Brady, you don't go out and break his femur.
Oh,
what you do is you break down the score in your favor.
I don't know what made me think of this, but when we were talking about whatever it was, just made me think. I don't know how you could have possibly have seen American Gangster and not hit me to the fact that Cuba Gooding Jr. is trying to resurrect his career
As the drug dealer.
And my God, was he awful in that movie.
Yeah, he's so small, such a small role in there. Hardly, noticed. I hardly noticed.
I thought it was type one of those roles like when Bruce Willis was in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
You know, like, I'll do anything so the people respect me as an actor.
Well, at least he's not, you know, making summer camp movies anymore where, you know, the biggest laugh in the whole movie is the outhouse exploding.
Yeah, but he still has those goddamn commercials. Hey, Michael! I'm wearing your underwear.
I know. He was lucky to get that gig. That's where he's gone in his career. He has to take that little niblet that they give him for American Gangster.
Yeah, a little uncredited thing, at least as far as a promo for the movie goes.
But, you know, I almost sounded gay when I said this to Carla. I was watching Inside Man the other night, which is an old movie that was on cable. Mm-hmm. And I said, I watch him whenever he's on screen. And I realized how gay it sounded.
You talking about Denzel?
I'm gay for Denzel. I am totally gay. I can watch Denzel Washington do anything.
Mm-hmm. If Cuba Gooding Jr. gets good notices for American Gangster, that'll put the green light on Snow Dogs, too.
Thank you. Rob Spiewak, thank you.
He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Get his balls cut on Wednesday.
Just having them looked at.
Just having them looked at Wednesday.
Fondled and examined.
Spaghetti on the internet. What do you do?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Let's take one more call and we'll hit a break here. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, I was just wondering if you thought it would be better that Belichick were to kick that field goal and make it 45-7 with a guaranteed 3 points.
Sure.
Instead of giving it to, like, the fullback that they had in there.
Yes, yes. It's a dick move, sir. It's a dick move.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. I think I pretty much told you my take on that. Yeah, it's a dick move.
I'm trying to go back and think of dynasties, you know, real dynasties, and whether they, you know, there are a lot of dynasties, a lot of guys, you had the Dolphins. We were talking about them last week. But as far as doing this, you know, when you see it a couple of times, you know, usually they kind of modify it. If they run up, get caught up in the game plan, and they run it up against one team, but to come back and do it again,
nope.
You know, now they, I think a lot of people feel the way you do.
Someone out there's got to have balls. Some NFL player out there has got to have balls. And you got to know that whoever it is, oh, my God, are they going to be vilified?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be vilified? There's going to be, you know, and where is Dexter when you need him? This is a job for Dexter K. Manley.
Hello, that's bad. I'm going to break his arm.
Because I can almost picture the BS back and forth on ESPN now.
Right.
While the Patriots ran the risk, they knew that this was going to happen. But look at poor Tom Brady as he's being thrust in a million different directions.
And the dream season comes to an end. They're turning him on his side now, trying to get an airway. Oh, dear, this is not good. And a hush has fallen over the stadium.
And then you know what else I want? I want a taunting penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of those guys, as Tom Brady's on the laying on the ground, to walk over and laugh. And point, ah, 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 ah.
Then you'd feel complete.
Yes, I would.
After that one.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? This is very interesting.
Sure,
Is any part of this based on the fact that even though the Packers are 9-1.
No, Mike.
And there's maybe a little boy who's rooted for the Packers his whole life and knows, even though they're 9-1,
swear to God, no.
But don't you think the Patriots are probably going to?
I think the Patriots are.
I
try to tell you, this is what's pissing me off. They might be the best team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody has a chance against them.
But so if they are, maybe it's time to act like it and maybe carry themselves with a little dignity.
Just class. Pissing me off. I mean, you know, and Jesus Christ, Buffalo. Poor Buffalo.
Yeah.
What do they got going there?
Long-suffering Buffalo.
You know, they're happy because they're on TV. Seriously.
Yeah.
The entire goddamn town. Did you see the shots of Buffalo? They might as well have had a helicopter over Laurel, Maryland.
Right.
I mean, there is no downtown Buffalo.
There's no Buffalo, and towards the end of that game, it was very sad to see literally an empty stadium. You don't see that. You don't see that with many games in the NFL.
And my point is, poor Buffalo, poor tiny town. You look at that feebed out owner up there who's just like one step away from jumping in his own grave.
But it's warfare, Don. You're going in there. Yeah. You know, you're not asking for mercy.
Mike,
you're going in for warfare.
And if it's warfare, let's take out Brady. Let's take out Boss. You know, Jesus. And you're doing that to Buffalo. Seriously.
Right.
That's like a guy beating up a little kid.
You might not have seen that in years past, not only because of the attitude of teams, you might not have seen that with the new rules that they have designed particularly to protect the quarterback. You know, I mean, I don't know if it was the Giants game, the Redskins game, or which one I was watching, where they tackled a guy at the ankles. The guy's head was down, did not see, and they called it roughing the passer.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, the guy's going to get vilified, whoever does this.
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe two guys. You do a high-low thing on Brady. But what you do is, really?
Snap him in half.
You say on this play.
Snap him in half.
We don't care. Right. Let all of their receivers release. Let everybody release. 11 guys come at the ball.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the real idea. You release.
Hey, you release.
You have everybody do that for Tom Brady. That'd be worse than breaking his leg. Who do they play next? Who do the Patriots play
the
next?
The Eagles.
Oh, well, you know, there's
if
you're looking for a bitter city, but it's going to be in New England, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one bad enough on Philadelphia. No one bad enough. I mean, no one badass enough to do it.
But, you know, forget Tom Brady. Think of the joy of your wonderful pack.
Yeah. I am. I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled with the fact they're 9-1. Absolutely I am. I'm friggin' thrilled.
And I'm very happy that Eli Manning, you know, only looked a tad tardy this weekend. You know, taking every little bit I can get from that guy.
All right, Mike.
I truly am. It's a good year. You will admit it's a pretty good year in the NFL.
Oh, it's a great
I'm certainly
year.
More interested than I've been in years past.
A great year in the NFL. And yesterday my phone was ringing with all of my friends from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. That would mean two people called me.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my friends from Baltimore called me. Said, did you see the end of the Ravens game?
Uh-huh.
One dude called me because they kicked a field goal with no time left. And the referee said, Kick is no good.
No good.
Ravens win.
Right.
My friend left the stadium.
A lot of people did.
When he got outside, they said, hold on. The refs just changed their mind. The field goal was good. So they...
There's the one thing I hate about the NFL. I can't stand it. I almost wish there was some way...
Did you see that
field
goal?
That we could just eliminate referees.
Did you see the field
goal? No, I didn't see the highlight.
Okay. The field goal hits the crossbar and bounces... It looks to be bounces out, but because it's within the context of the field goal thing itself, the two big things that go up in the air.
What?
You have to see the replay.
No, but I know what you're explaining to me. What you're explaining to me is that it bounced, and they're thinking because it was...
It bounced towards the field of play. It was hard to tell. It looked to me like the field goal was no good.
Right.
But any... I mean...
From the side, it hit the upright, then it bounced through the uprights, but bounced off the pole that holds the uprights up.
Back into
and then
the
back out.
Oh,
so
okay.
It broke the plane.
Okay, there's that
but
little...
But then bounced out.
There's that little
right.
thing.
It goes up and curves, and it holds the crossbar
okay.
in the upright.
Well, then it was a good call.
Yeah, but it was hard to see.
It was a good call. It's just... I mean, I'm not complaining. It was great. It would suck to be in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
This guy was telling me that even the players like were taking their jerseys off and running off the field.
That's the one play in the NFL where those guys are literally two refs on either side of the goalpost standing there staring at it. I mean, I can't believe they got it wrong the first time.
Well, they did.
So they reversed it with video.
There was no video. As it turns out, there is no – you cannot use instant replay to challenge a field goal.
So it was just a big, long powwow.
It was a big CF, and someone from up in the booth apparently said to them, listen, guys, technically you can't look at the replay.
But we got to tell you, you got to reverse this.
Yes, you got to turn it around.
Okay, all right.
So then they brought everybody back in the stadium.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
And then Cleveland beat the Ravens.
Then everyone went out and got VD.
Heartbreaking.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You say heartbreaking?
I did.
Like you care.
I watched the last hour of that game, most of the fourth quarter and the overtime, and I'd never seen anything like it. You know, not a fan, but it just kept changing. The drama, it was amazing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good for you.
I enjoyed it.
Hello.
Don and Mike, how are you doing? Pleasure to talk to you guys.
Right on. Same with you.
Listen to you on the internet since they booted you off the radio here. Hey, you know, when Buffalo scored that field goal, I really thought they were going to come back there at that point.
Get out of here.
The Bills fans, we went up and did a broadcast up there. They are some of the greatest sports fans in America. They're so loyal. They're the most Eston fans in the history of sports. I mean, really, even though, you know, it hasn't been the same years as, say, the Cubs or the Red Sox as far as waiting for a team championship,
Mike,
the Buffalo Bills fans have endured like those last...
They went to four Super
yeah,
Bowls
you remember,
in a row.
You remember that guy, the guy you danced in front of.
The guy with the shaved
head. The guy in Minnesota that was at the Super Bowl, and he was so pathetic with his shaved-in Buffalo on either side of his crew cut, and they were just such sad fans.
This was like 1990, way ahead of the curve before everybody started shaving their heads and painting logos on their heads.
This is the kind of deal where you saw this guy in a stadium and everybody noticed him because he was one of the few doing it. You know, it was before everybody was going, look at me. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Don's up in the stands and right as the game was over.
So Redskins-Buffalo Super Bowl.
Redskins-Buffalo Super Bowl. As there was another in the long line of Super Bowl losses for the Buffalo Bills, and Don does his little dancing jig right in front of the guy. It was your ultimate gracious winner moment right there.
I regret that.
Oh, but it was funny.
No,
as observing it, and really, I would have said if it was too cruel, because he like flipped you off or something, and it was funny, you know, because he was just being
guy with bald fat guy with painted his head red.
But you remember those games? How those people? That's it. That's it.
That's all they got.
In Laurel, Maryland North, as you said, that is all
Buffalo.
They've got going.
Buffalo, Maryland.
Very, very sad.
Buffalo, Maryland, Mike.
Buffalo in Prince George's County.
Key Rice. Oh, we got to do this. See, this is why we get killed later in the show with commercials.
We do run our mouths, don't we?
We do. We'll be right back with more. Blah, blah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.